Dear Lord, we humbly approach your word this morning and we say, teach us, Lord, for we are your servants and we have ears to hear what you are saying to us. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Help us to see with the eyes of the learned, and help us to hear with the ears of the learned. And help us also to choose to live by the truth that you gave to us this morning. That it will not just be something we assent to, or something we get excited about, but it will be something that we see as the way to live daily until you come for us. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, for helping us now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says amen. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 7. Very popular scripture. We all know it by heart. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Hallelujah. Well, I want to draw your attention to verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone. Everyone. This is God's will for us. That when we pray, any one of us, and every one of us, it's not saying, well, only the ministers of the gospel can pray and get results. It says every one of his children. It doesn't matter what our callings may be. God expects every one of us, number one, to pray, number two, to get answers to our prayers. So we see very clearly here, and you know, again, if this is all we know in the Bible about prayer, that well, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened, because everyone that has is going to receive, so I expect to receive, we'll miss it. We'll miss it big, big time. This is why we cannot just read one verse of scripture or one portion of the Bible and run with it and think we have revelation. We are going to make a shipwreck of our faith in doing so, because there are so many other places in the Bible that God talks about asking and gives us clearer understanding of how to do so in order to ensure that we receive. Again, his will is that when we ask, we receive. But there are rules that govern asking. If we violate those rules, we are not going to receive. That's what we are talking about. So don't just read one portion of the Bible and think you have revelation. Go to every other places in the Bible where the word of God teaches us about that subject, and then you can have a balanced understanding. You can know how to go about asking and getting what God wants you to have. Again, Bible says here, everyone that asketh, receiveth. And we don't have time to go into that now, but we see also in this passage of scripture, Bible teaching us that prayer can come in different ways. In other words, your prayer may just be to ask God for something. In other words, to bring a petition before him because you lack something and you are asking from him because he has the supply. Then, again, prayer can be seeking. So when you are seeking for something, that means you want to find something. Something that you are missing. Something that is lost. Something that you really don't have. And you are seeking for it. Perhaps you just want to seek a closer walk with God. Well, that's part of prayer, because many of us think that to pray simply means just to ask God for things. How about saying, God, I want to know you more? That's part of prayer. You are seeking to get closer to God. Or maybe you are knocking. There are doors that you know God will want you to walk through in life, but somehow those doors are shut. And you are knocking in prayer that the doors may be open, because God holds the keys in his hands. He can overrule human beings here and overrule the devil that tried to hinder you from walking through the doors of opportunity that God has prepared for you. And then God can come in response to your prayer and say, yes, I hold the keys. I open, no one can shut, and I shut, no one can open. I set before you an open door which none shall be able to shut. Then he rebukes the devil for you and say, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. Why? Because you pray. You pray. Someone says, well, God has already made these promises in his word. Why do I need to pray? Well, Bible says if you don't pray, you are not going to receive. Even though God has promised you these things, he still wants you to ask. Because your asking is the means by which you humble yourself under the hand of God to say to him, be it unto me, dear Lord, according to your word. In other words, I agree with your plan, I agree with your will, and I want it. That's why we need to pray. Even though God has made these promises unto us, we need to still ask him to do them, so that we may have them at our disposal. Now put your finger here. Turn with me quickly to James chapter 4. Well, we just read that everyone that asketh receiveth. But James tells us that it's possible to ask and not receive. So that means there are rules now concerning receiving answers to our asking in prayer. So don't just say, well, I'll just ask God and I'm going to get it. God says, well, you have to ask in order to receive. So you have to ask in certain ways. If you violate the rules, you're not going to get it. We all know so many rules about asking in the Bible, don't we? We ask in the name of Jesus. You don't ask because of yourself that you merit these things. You ask on the platform of what Jesus has done, the one who pleased the Father at all points. You ask also according to the will of God. Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. I will give you those scriptures in a short while. But here in James chapter 4, just for us to see clearly that it's possible to ask and not receive, and therefore we are talking this morning about learning to ask and receive. Don't just approach prayer for just asking, but approach it to ask and to receive as God wants you to do. Now, for the sake of time, let's just drop down to verse 3, James chapter 4. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now, we just read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, that everyone that asketh receiveth. Now, is God contradicting himself? No, no, no. God is helping us to understand that there are rules that he has put in his word about asking, and we need to understand them and apply them when we are asking. For instance, here Bible says, when we are asking from our own selfish motive, in order to fulfill our own will, rather than the will of God, we are not going to receive. Because God wants his will to be done, not our own will. And many of us already determine our will, and then we go to prayer. Some of us even pray through the night. And like we are praying for breakthrough. Oh God, give it to me. Give it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Devil, I bind you. Thou shalt not touch my goods. Thou shalt not steal my blessing. Oh God, give it to me. In the name of Jesus. And God is saying, why are you wasting your time? Shut up and study the Bible and find out what my will is, and then come back and ask me in agreement with my will. But we don't even listen to him. This is my will, God. Just take your big rubber stamp from heaven and rubber stamp it and let it be done. God says, no, I'm not here to grant you your will, but to give you my own will. But many of us don't even listen to him anyway. We just want our will. So he was going to let us go and have it our own way then. And then when we suffer, we'll come back to him later and say, oh God, I'm sorry, Lord. Now I want your will. I don't want that will anymore. I want your own now. We can avoid all this mistakes by simply understanding these things and applying them to our prayer lives. Now, please get your pen and paper. The first point I want you to note is this. when you want to pray and get answers to your prayer. Number one, clearly identify your need or your desire. You have to be clear about what you need. What do I want to pray about? Is it just to know God more? Or is it that I want wisdom, I lack wisdom, and Bible says God will give to me? So what do I really want? What do I want? I have to be clear about that. In front of that, please write this scripture. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, and that's exactly what Jesus said there. What things soever you desire when you pray. In other words, when you pray, you have to have a desire. What do you desire? If God were to ask you, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? Like he asked blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Blind Bartimaeus was clear. He said that I might receive my sight. He could have asked for hands. He could have said, just give me big money today. The biggest money I've ever received. Well, Jesus would have given him that and walked away, and blind Bartimaeus would have remained blind. But Bartimaeus said, I want my sight. And he got it. So we have to be clear about what we desire. Number two. So again, the first thing I want to pray. First thing is, what do I want to pray about? So once I've established that, then number two is not to pray. No, number two is not to pray. Many of us just jump into prayer at that point. Now I have the desire. Okay, let me begin to pray. Don't pray yet. You are not going to get the answer. God is not going to give you your answer because you just desire it. How many of us know that the judge in the court doesn't just grant justice because somebody appears before him to say, I want justice? How many of us know that they don't operate that way? You have to know what the law says about your case. Because the judge is there to uphold the law, not just your case. It's not there for your case. It's there for what the law says about your case. Because it's the judge to dispense justice. And it's the same thing with God. God is the judge of the whole earth. He is there to grant you justice based on what his word says, not just based on your desire. So the next step, therefore, is search the scriptures. Again, the first thing is be clear about your desire. The next thing is search the scriptures. Search the scriptures to find out what the word of God says about that particular desire. In other words, look for scriptures that apply to your desire. Well, I need wisdom. That's my desire. So I'm going to search the scriptures for what the Bible says about wisdom and God's willingness to give to me. Why do I need to do so? Again, why do I need to do this step two before praying? Please write this down. There are three key reasons the Bible teaches us concerning searching the scriptures to know what God has promised before we pray. Number one is to ensure that we are praying in agreement with the will of God concerning that desire. Again, God is not there to just grant my desire, but to do his will concerning my desire. So I have to understand that. So, the will of God. In front of that, please write the scriptures. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. And Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. In both scriptures, we see clearly that the will of God is the basis of prayer. Jesus, in what we call the Lord's Prayer, teaches us that we all know that by heart. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So prayer is about getting the will of God done. And in 1 John chapter 5 verse 14, Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, you see the rule, according to his will. So I have to know what the will of God is concerning that desire before I pray. So I search the scriptures to find out what God has promised in agreement with that will, and then in doing so, I want to establish my prayer in agreement with his will. Then secondly, the reason why I need to search the scriptures before I pray is to have the ground of faith that I need to stand upon in order to please God even before I pray. You see, if you are not in faith, you are not pleasing God. Your prayers can't even please God. You are wasting your time. You might as well not pray. Just go home and sleep. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God, Bible says. And some of us are there saying, I will pray through the night. And there is no faith. You're just wasting your time. You might as well just go to bed. Or get your Bible and build your faith before you come to talk to God. In front of that, please write the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. That's exactly what Bible says there. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you have to search the scriptures. You have to have the ground of faith. And James chapter 1 verse 6. Exactly again, that's what Bible says there. Talking about lacking wisdom, asking from God. In verse 5, God gives to all men liberally and does not upbraid. But then in verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith. So which means if that person is asking but there is no faith, they are wasting their time. So you need to search the scriptures. And the third reason why you need to search the scriptures to find applicable promises of God before you pray is to avoid the mistake of praying amiss. We just saw that in James chapter 4 verse 3. So write that scripture in front of that point. It's possible to pray and miss it. And when you miss the mark, you are disqualified. Isn't that so? An athlete that runs and violate the rules will be disqualified. He can't get the medal. Even if he comes first, he's going to lose it. So we have to make sure that we don't ask amiss. In other words, we don't ask just thinking about ourselves. That's missing it. Our focus is on God when we are asking. God, you are the God who hears prayers and answers prayers. I want to do exactly what you want me to do as I pray. What is your will? Show me in the Bible that I may agree with you. And then you are not asking amiss. Because now it's about the will of God, not about mine. It's not about what I lost for. It's about what God wants me to have. Next point. Again, point number one. Be clear about your need or desire. So clearly identify that. Number two, search the scriptures. You are not praying yet. You are preparing. You are making preparation to pray so that you can get the answers to your prayer. Number three thing that you need to do is search your heart. Again, don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Don't be in a haste. You see, once you understand these things, it doesn't take you long. All that we are sharing won't take you even more than a few seconds or minutes, because it's all a question of preparing on the inside where God will meet with you in your heart. That's why Jesus said, don't be like the religious people who pray loving to be seen of men, and they use so many words in their prayer, thinking that by their much speaking, God will hear them. He said, no, don't be like them. Rather, you enter into your closet, shut the door, and then your Father will see in the secret. In other words, who looks in your heart here to search for what he's looking for. And when he finds it here, even before you pray, he has already answered. Hallelujah. Before you ask, Bible says God will answer. And while you are yet speaking, he will hear. Why? Because he's pleased with what he sees in here. He works with the heart. Someone else may be there 1 hour, saying so many words, praying so eloquently. Everybody say, wow, hear that person's prayer. Wow, that's a mighty warrior for God. Glory, hallelujah. But God is not even hearing anything he says. But another person comes and just says, God, be merciful unto me. God sees the heart and blesses the person immediately. Didn't Jesus give the example in Luke chapter 18? Remember the Pharisees that came and prayed in the temple? And then the publican, two of them came in the house of God to pray. The Pharisee beat his chest, looked up to heaven and said, oh God, I do all these things. He made a long list of all his goodness, his qualities. And then look at the sinner there and say, God, I thank you that I'm not like that sinner there. Jesus even asked the people listening, which one of them did God hear an answer? Of course, the sinner that couldn't look up, bowed his heart before God in sincerity and said, forgive me, O God, the sinner. God saw the heart, sincere heart, but saw pride in the other one. My achievements. God rejected him. He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. That's why we have to understand these things. Hallelujah. So search your heart to ensure that there is no unforgiveness, no hatred against anyone, and no bitterness against anyone. Again, you've not prayed yet. You have a desire to pray. You search the scriptures. You've known the will of God. Now you have to search your own heart, because that's the altar of the Lord where he will meet with you in prayer. If the altar is not clean, God is not meeting with you. You're wasting your time. So search your heart. Make sure there's no unforgiveness in you. What has that got to do with my prayer? Well, Jesus said it's got everything to do with your prayer. He mentioned it in the Lord's Prayer, and he mentioned it in several other places in connection with prayer. Please write the scriptures down. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus clearly says, when you stand praying, you have to forgive. In other words, if you don't forgive, then God won't forgive you. Therefore, God is not listening to your prayer, because he doesn't listen to the prayer of sinners. If you are not forgiven, then you are taken as a sinner at that point in time. Also, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Jesus went on to say, because if you don't forgive others their trespasses, even your Father in heaven will not forgive you your own. How then do you want him to hear you? And thirdly, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. I love the wisdom of the psalmist there. He brought himself under God's searchlight in humility and said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's humility. In other words, this is your altar. If there's any wickedness here, please help me get rid of it so that I can meet with you. You begin to see how we miss it so often. We are quick to pray. Oh, I have a need. Oh, God, help me do this. But we've not done all the preparation. And we are not really meeting with God. We are just there making so much noise. And we are not getting anywhere. And at the end of the day, we get frustrated. And we wonder why we are still frustrated after praying. Well, you never met with God. You are just doing religion then. Okay, next point number 4. In order to pray and get answers to your prayer, now you can pray. Then, pray. The preparation is done now. You can begin the process of praying itself. Now, pray with the applicable scriptures. The scriptures that you found, you searched for and found in number 2, now you can take them to God now and begin to pray. I said, God, you said this in your word, and I've come to you to say, be done unto me according to your word. Notice, I'm saying, God, do what your word says. I'm not coming and saying, God, just give me what I desire. I'm saying, God, do what your word says, because I've already found the word of God that applies to my desire. You see the key? God has an obligation to perform his word. He has no obligation to grant me my desire, but he has an obligation to perform his word. He said, I watch over my word to perform it. You see the key? You see the wisdom in approaching God and getting answer? It's not about my desire now, oh God. It's about your promise, which I know you will never fail to keep. And so when he grants the promise, my desire is met. And that's what God is looking for in us. And seeking from us when we say we are coming to him for prayer. So pray with the scriptures, which you have already searched out. Now, how do you then do this? 2 key points under praying with the applicable scriptures. Number 1, pray with those scriptures in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, for instance, you said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of you. and you give to them liberally, you will not upbraid. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to give me the wisdom that you have promised me in this situation. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Prayer ended. It has not lasted for 1 minute. God rubber stamps, granted, because of my word. I watch over my word to perform. Whereas someone else will be there hours on hand, struggling to get the wisdom. They will never get it. Because they are not coming according to God's own rules. Secondly, under that praying with the applicable scriptures, is to pray persistently until the answer comes. Many of us miss it there. And that's why the devil robs us of the answer that we are supposed to have. He says, well, you've been praying for how many days now? You've not got it. Stop wasting your time. You are not going to get it. But didn't Jesus tell us that men ought always to pray and not to give up? And that even though God bears long with his own elect, they should keep praying because God will answer them speedily. So we have to be persistent. Several examples in the Bible that we saw people persisting. We all know how Daniel persisted in Daniel chapter 10 until he got the answer. God sent the answer on the first day, but it took him 21 days to receive, because in the realm of the spirit, the devil, through the prince of Persia, was withholding the answer from coming across to Daniel. He just stood in the way of the angel that was bringing the answer. We don't see things in the spirit all the time. We don't know what is happening there. But one thing we know is that if we do what God says to do, the way God says to do, it will take care of the realm that we don't see in for us, and ensure that we get what he has promised us here on earth. So pray persistently until the answer comes. In front of that, the first point in the name of Jesus, please write the scriptures. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. There Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Aha, you see, you have to ask in the name of Jesus. Now, pray persistently until the answer comes. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And also Luke chapter 11, verse 8. We all know the prayer of importunity. The friend that goes to his friend at night, knocking on the door to get some provision for a guest that he had. And then Jesus teaching that, okay, even though that friend will not get up just because it's his friend, but because of the importunity, because of the persistence in knocking, he's not going to stop knocking until he gets what he wants, that guy will get up from the bed and give him everything he wants. Again, teaching us about praying and continuing to pray until we get the answer. Point number 5, be thankful to God while you are praying. Many of us wait to get the answer before we thank him, but that's no show of faith. That's walking in the flesh. If you can thank God for what you have not seen, that means you believe that thing is on the way. And that's telling God, I believe you will not fail me. Hallelujah. And we actually find that Bible teaches us to thank God while we are praying. In front of that, please write Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. We all know what is there. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Aha. So continue to make your request known. That's what it means literally. Continue to make your request known. Don't just ask once and give up. Keep doing it, thanking God. Keep doing it, thanking God until you get it. Hallelujah. And then Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Finally, be expectant and be patient for the answer to your prayer to manifest. Be expectant. Be patient. The two must go together. You must be expectant. Don't ever lose hope. No matter how long the answer is taking, keep your hope alive and keep waiting patiently for that answer that God has promised in his word regarding your need to come into manifestation in the physical. In front of that, write the scriptures as we close. For being expectant, first of all, write Psalm chapter 9, verse 18. The Bible says the expectation of the righteous shall never be forgotten. And then, for being patient, write Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12 and Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36. And then, for the two scriptures together to see the dynamics of expectation or hope and patience working together to receive the promise, now write Romans chapter 8 verses 24 and 25, and let's turn there as we close. Romans chapter 8 verses 24 and 25. Well, I'm expectant. I'm expecting what God promised because I know He never fails to deliver. So it's on the way. I might not have received it in physical manifestation yet, but I know it's on the way. It's on the way. An angel is bringing it to me, and in due season, I shall have it to show to everybody. That's what it means to be expectant. My hope is alive because of the promise of God that I know. Regarding my need, I know God will never fail to keep His promise. It's not just about my need now. It's about God of integrity, God who is faithful, God who always keep His promises, because Bible says faithful is He that promised, who also will do it. And that keeps my hope alive. When the devil is saying to me, well, can't you see you are not getting anywhere with your prayer? Can't you see the situation is not changing? It's actually going from bad to worse. You tell that devil, shut up! My God never fails. His word never fails. I'm expectant and I know I'm getting it soon. And I will show you, devil, when I got you, see it. And you'll be ashamed. Because God never fails. That's how to do it. That's how to do it. You need faith. When you pray, you need faith. After you pray, the just shall live by faith. Just keep your place of faith going until the end. Romans 8, let's read together, verses 24 and 25 as we close. And I'll ask you again, go back home, meditate in all this that we have shared, and let the Holy Spirit give you a deeper understanding of them all. Let's read together 24 and 25, Romans chapter 8. Let's go. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hallelujah. See how the two go together? I'm hopeful. I'm expecting. God's promise is on the way. It's on the way. So I'm waiting also patiently for it. Don't give up and say, I've prayed for 1 week. Nothing has changed. Keep your hope alive and wait patiently for it. God knows the due season to deliver. It never fails and it's never late. Amen. Now just set it in motion before we go. Let's put the practical for the next few seconds. Search your heart. What do you need from God? What do you want God to help you with? And as you do so, search the scriptures. I know many of you will be able to receive the Holy Spirit's input concerning your need. It will bring to our remembrance, Bible says, what we have heard, what we have learned. That's why we need to be diligent in the word of God day and night. When the time of need comes, the Holy Spirit will have something to bring up as Rhema word to help you in that situation. You will know what the word of God says about it. And then you can then search your heart. Make sure that there's no unforgiveness there. If there is any, just say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. Freely you forgive me, freely I forgive them. I have nothing against anyone, oh God. My heart is clean. In Jesus' name. Then you can then pray. And ask God to do what He has promised you relevant to that need. And you can thank Him that you receive the answer by faith. And you can keep your hope alive and wait patiently for the physical manifestation, because God has already released it in the spirit and it shall come to pass in the physical. So go ahead and do that. Before you go this morning, and I'm just going to touch and agree with you, once you've done that, for the next few seconds, it doesn't take long, as I said. It doesn't take 1 hour to pray this kind of prayer. It's all the dynamics of the understanding of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit helps you to put together in a nutshell. And then you can come before God and say, God, I stand before you to ask of you, because I know your desire and your will for me is to ask and to receive. And I'm here obeying all your rules regarding asking, so that I may receive from you in Jesus' name. Then you go ahead and do that. Father, I thank you for this, your precious people, your children, Lord, under the sound of my voice, having desires in their heart, no matter what the desires may be. Knowing, oh God, that you are the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the Father who cares for his children, the God of our salvation, the source of our total supply, the God who never fails to keep his promises. So I thank you that as they have come to you with their desires in agreement with your promises, your will, standing in faith and asking of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, and full of hope and being in readiness to wait patiently. I thank you that I touch and agree with them in line with your word that says, if any two shall touch and agree together concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of you, our Father, who is in heaven. And so I thank you that you do for everyone according to their desires, that is in agreement with your promises, in the name of Jesus. And take all the glory, dear Lord, as you make the joy of everyone full in you. You say we shall ask and we will receive, that our joy may be full. Thank you for fullness of joy, as you help everyone to receive answers to their prayers this morning. For in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen.